Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Good to see everybody tonight. Thank you for coming. I'm looking forward to unpacking the Word of God. And I'm glad my wife is with me. She's been busy all day on the phone doing all kinds of things. And we came into church and she says, I can't wait to get to church so I can focus on the Lord. So give Meliana a hand as she comes. Yeah.
Praise God. One of the distractions, I was so busy with doing the COVID test, you know, because we have to go do COVID test today. And I think there was some.
I don't agree that we wouldn't be here if we were
Yeah, if we were positive, we would not be here. On top of that, we have to go to Hawaii next week, on Tuesday, so we have to do the test 3 days in advance. And some glitch went through, and it took us most all our afternoon trying to figure it out. Anyway, praise God, we got it figured out. And praise God, it was negative. It has to be negative. Otherwise, we can't go. Anyway, I grabbed these books. I wanted to give this book and CDs. I wanted to give it away because Pastor was talking about prophesying, you know, not to be disappointed if you don't receive a prophetic word. And I felt like if you don't receive a prophetic word, could it be the Lord wants you to prophesy yourself, right? Or just prophesy. Just what does it mean to prophesy? For me, it's simple. Just speak life. It is. Just, in other words, when you see a situation or crisis, don't let the situation unfold itself don't let the situation or the crisis do the talk. You do the talk. Amen? You speak to it. Prophesy to it. Remember when the world was full of darkness and void? God looked at it. The world was full of darkness and void. It was dark. Did he just watch it? No. He speak to it. He prophesied to it. He said, let there be light. And guess what? It came forth. And I believe God wants you and I to prophesy. Because his word says, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Not just the preacher, not just those who are in the ministry. No, God's desire for all of us to prophesy. Amen? And I want to give this away. I have CDs back there. I have series on teaching, learning how to prophesy. And there is four messages here or four CDs. I want to give this away. Who want it? You can raise your hand real quickly. Praise God. Brother, you can come get it. You raise your hand first. God bless you. Thank you again. Being a blessing. Also, I grabbed this one, but it's different. Same thing, how to develop a prophetic culture. I want to give this away also to somebody. A sister, you raise your hand. You can come get it. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Again, God bless you. Again, how important it is for you and I to prophesy. I believe I quoted this scripture here before. It's Job 22:28, which I explained earlier. You decide. In other words, don't let the crisis or the problem do the talk. You do the talk. You decide and decree a thing. That means speak it. Speak life to the situation, not death. Speak life to the situation, okay? And then it says, and then the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. How can God shine his favor on your ways if we're just quiet, not saying anything? Or just watching the problem. No, God wants you and I to speak to the situation, prophesy to the situation, so he can shine his favor on your situation. Amen? I shared to some of you like what I said, we had to do a COVID test this afternoon. And because we travel so much, we always have to do a COVID test. And back in January, no, it was December. I have to go do a COVID test to fly to Alaska. And when they gave me the result, it was positive. You can't travel when you have a positive test. It has to be negative. So when it's positive, we all know what you're supposed to do. Stay home, quarantine for what, 14 days? On top of that, if you get sick. But listen, I didn't feel sick. Why go test? If you're sick, stay home. But I didn't feel sick. That's why I went to test, because I can go to Alaska without a negative test to show them when I arrive. Because when you arrive, there are state workers at the airport waiting for you. So, to be honest with you, I was so mad because of the positive test. And then, so guess what I did? I threw that positive test away because I can't go to Alaska with it. But I determined to get to Alaska. So I threw that test away. Then I pray, because they said, you can still carry the virus without you being sick, right? Or without you having any symptom. That's what CDC or health officials said. And when I remembered that, then I started praying, God, I believe what your word says, that by your stripe, I am healed. If there's any virus in me, which I don't know, but you know everything. God, if there's any virus in my body, I believe what your word says. Your word says that by your stripe I am healed. Forget not my benefit. You forgive my sins and heal all my diseases. Listen, we either believe it, or we can either just quote it or believe it. We have to believe what we quote. We have to believe what his word says. Otherwise, we'll just quote it. So I quoted it, I pray it, and I believe, God, I believe what your word says. I have to get to Alaska. So I look at the girl and say, can you test me again? So she tested me again and gave me the result. It was negative. I said, praise Jesus, give it to me. I need to be at the airport. So I called him, come and get me to the airport. So he got me, got to the airport, and I was sitting at the gate. Getting ready to board my flight. My phone rang. Guess who? CDC's health officials. Why? Because they don't care about the negative test. They are so concerned about the positive test. And guess what? I didn't answer the phone. I didn't answer it. Why? Because I know I have to get to Alaska. So they boarded us. I got in the plane and flew to Alaska. Arrive in Alaska, oh my gosh, health official called every day. Meliana did not answer the phone. I didn't answer the phone at all. Why? Because I was determined to get to Alaska. Got my ministry, minister over there, minister to my family also, because they live there also. And right after that, then I'll get back. So they called every day. Man, it bugged me. So I was there, but then I thought about this. Hey, I am not carrying sickness around. I'm not carrying sickness. I have to make up my mind. I'm carrying life. I'm carrying health. I'm carrying the sweet fragrance of the Lord. Again, we either believe it or not. Again, even though I got a positive test, that does not mean I have to accept it. Because sometimes we go and the doctor gave us a diagnosis. Yes, what they saw, it could be a fax. That is a fax. We can't deny that. They saw it on the test. But it's up to you and I if we accepted it. What I want you and I to accept and believe and trust is what his word says. His word says that by his stripe we are healed. The fax said, you may have cancer. The fact said I got positive tests. Am I going to accept it or am I going to believe what his word says? So we have to have a choice. So like what I said, yeah, just because I tested positive, that doesn't mean I have to accept it. So I didn't. That's why I flew to Alaska, because I knew, God, I am not carrying sickness. I am not going to make anybody sick. I believe what your word says, that your people, your servants will carry life. Amen? So, and guess what? I was there, my 94-year-old mother, you know, because they said stay away from the older people. I was there, hang out with them, had dinner with them. And I flew back. When I got back, I remember I flew to Phoenix. When I got to Phoenix, my phone rang again. It was health official. That's when I answered the phone. I picked up the phone and I said, but before that, let me say this. I'm not saying that we have to be ignorant. Yes, the virus, it is real. It's affecting so many people. You know, there are many of us have been sick from it. I have friends. I count. I think I had 10 that I knew that have passed from this horrible virus. But what I'm trying to say, just because there are sickness is affecting us, that does not nullify God's word. Amen? God's word is still yes and amen to his people. Praise God. And what if we go on and pass? Why? Why are we upset? We're going to be with him anyway in a better place. Amen? Praise God. But so many people are so afraid. Listen, we shouldn't be afraid because our lives is in his hand. Amen? So anyway, phone rang again. I knew, look at it, it was the health officials. I answered it. That's when I answered it. I pick up the phone. I said, sir, my goodness, you bug me every day. You irritate me. I know why you called. And I basically said, listen, you have created a job, and you sit there in your office, and you call people, make people upset, make people afraid, make people stay home, so fearful. And I said, but I am so sorry. I am very sorry, sir. I am not going to stay home. I am essential. I have to go to work to pay you. Sit in the office calling people. That's what I told him, you know. And then after that, and I gave him how much I pay. I come to understand, he didn't understand that I have to pay. I said, sir, we paid almost $4,000 that time. We paid almost $4,000 just on COVID tests alone. And he said, why did you pay that? We have free tests. And I said, free tests? I called them. They told CVS. I called CVS. They told me to lie to them. They told me to tell them I have symptoms. And if I show up and test it, they find out that I don't have COVID. And guess what? They will go by what I said. I will automatically go into quarantine. And not only that, you guys put us in a category that we have to pay. Because if you travel, those states allow you to have you must have your test within 3 days. The free test, you don't know when you're going to get the result. But if you pay for it, you guarantee you will get the result within 3 days. Then you get on a plane. And I explained to him that. And he said, oh, I didn't realize that. And after I explained to him everything, guess what he did? He apologized to me. And he said, ma'am, I am very sorry. We will never call you again. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he said, and we will never call you again from now on. And guess what? I will close your case. I said, case? Are you telling me I'm a criminal because I tested positive with COVID? I never have a case in my life. You're telling me I'm a criminal? And he said, no, ma'am, you're not a criminal. I just want you to know that I'm closing your case, and it's not a criminal case. And that way, no one will ever bother you or call you again. I said, thank you so much. And that was it. But again, the reason why I share with you that story, because I thought about this. I have, of how important it is for you and I to know the authority that we have. If we don't know the authority that we have, we will be afraid of everything. We're afraid of virus. Yes, the virus is real. But listen, you and I, we need to know who we are. We need to know the authority that we have. Otherwise, we will be afraid. We will hide. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's about time for you and I to rise up and be bold, know who we are. Otherwise, we are quiet. Listen, look at our world today. Look at our nation. Why? Because us Christians are so afraid not stand up and say it like it is. We legalize to kill our babies. Why? Because we are quiet. We are afraid not to stand up and call sin, sin. We legalize to marry. A man marry a man, woman marry a woman. Why? Because we are afraid not to stand up and say it like it is. God showed me, Miliana, when you stand up for righteousness, I will protect you. Listen, I could have been got into trouble. I broke every rule about COVID. But I didn't get into trouble with it. Also, I'm not giving you an excuse to go around and break every law, okay? No, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, to stand up for what come against God's word. Amen? For what come against what you and I know that is not right. So it's about time that we have to rise up, know the authority that we have, speak life to the situation. And that's what I did. When they gave me a positive test, I prayed, God, your word says by your stripe, I am healed. Forget not my benefit. I'm not going to accept this test. I have to go to Alaska. I have to get to Alaska. I believe God looked down. Look at my daughter. She come and she line up her thinking and what she quote with what my word says. Therefore, I'm going to step in and do a miracle for her. I'm going to cause them to test her negative because she's determined to get to Alaska. Amen. Amen? It's about time. And I'm not only talking. Yes, that could be a COVID test. What about speaking life to the sickness? What about speaking life to the relationship? What about speaking life to some of our family members that or even children, you know, that some of our family, they fall into anger or hatred or anxiety or depression. Listen, we need to face and speak life to the situation instead of being afraid and being fearful. Amen? Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love hearing Meliana share that story. I remember when I picked her up at the airport in Phoenix. I remember we were in the Walgreens parking lot when the health official called. And see, I've been married to her for 37 years. And so what happened was when they called, I started praying for her, interceding for her. Then after about 1 or 2 minutes, I stopped praying for Meliana and started praying for the health official. Come on. Because I knew what he was going to go through. Come on. Oh, Jesus. Poor guy. You know, poor guy. Praise Jesus. But that's a great testimony, honey. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, last night we talked about wisdom. Tonight, I want to talk about something that God laid on my heart. That there's something that we need. Every one of us need a revelation. What do I mean by revelation? It's when God reveals something to me or you that we didn't have prior knowledge to. Because sometimes we can be guided by information, but not guided by revelation. Because Meliana got information that she was positive. But the revelation was she wasn't. Come on. Are you hearing me? So what happens many times is we respond and react to information instead of realizing that as the people of God, we cannot be guided by information all the time. We need to be guided by revelation. Are you hearing me? With that, I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin in a moment in verses 18 through 25. I'm going to break it down. I want to get to 25, the last verse in Matthew chapter 1, as quick as I can. But let me lay something out with you. Because most of us in this room, a new good large portion of us, are very familiar with this story. It's the story of the birth of Jesus. However, I'm going to be preaching it much differently than you've heard before. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew in his gospel gives me the most insights, not just on Mary. Matthew gives me insights on what's going on with Joseph. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that the angel of the Lord came to Mary with a revelation. And when the angel of the Lord came to her with a revelation, the angel prophesied to Mary. The first greeting was, "You are highly favored." How many know that if you ever got a greeting like that, that means that you're going to get a big blessing? Come on. You are highly favored. Now, it's interesting to note that being highly favored in God's sight is much different than our own. Because highly favored by God may not look like favor to the culture. Let me give you an example. The first greeting was, "Mary, you are highly favored." Wow, what is this unusual greeting? And then the next word by the angel is, "You're going to be pregnant." Now, she's not married. Are you hearing me? How many know that that doesn't sound like favor? That sounds like a conflict right there. In fact, the angel prophesies and visits her. She's going to carry the Savior. She is going to give birth to the Savior, and his name is going to be Jesus. He's going to save mankind from their sins. But I said that to say this. That same angel didn't give Joseph the same word at the same time. Joseph doesn't initially get that revelation. What do you do when you do not have a revelation? I can tell you this. When you don't have a revelation, we all have defaults. For instance, when Joseph found out that she's pregnant, what do you think went through Joseph's mind? Come on. They're betrothed to be, they're engaged, they're betrothed to be married. And now Joseph, because the angel didn't initially show up to Joseph, and Joseph now finds out information. And ladies and gentlemen, just like Joseph, we've all been to biology class. Come on. And so now what Joseph is thinking, oh, this woman who said she wanted to marry me and spend the rest of my life, her life with me, obviously doesn't feel the same way I do. In fact, she's betrayed me. She's rejected me. She's going through all these kinds of things that she has done to me. Obviously, she doesn't love me like I thought she did. Can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people walking around in Joseph's shoes without a revelation. What do we do when we don't have a revelation? Well, let's turn to the text. Are you there at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18? Listen to what it says. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit." Now here Joseph finds out the information that I just explained. Then in verse 19, we're going to camp out at a moment. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man." Everybody say, just man. Would all the men in the church please stand up? If you're a man, stand up. You're a man, you're a man, you're a man, right there. You're a man. You open the door for me, bro. Say, just man. What does it mean to be, you know what the church needs right now is just man. Not just any man, but a just man. a man that will do something that Joseph does. We don't just need a kind of man that shows up when they want to. We need a just man. How many want to be just man? How many know the church needs just man? How many know the female needs just man? Come on. You may be seated. So there's a reason why the Holy Spirit, and Matthew writes the fact and begins to give me insights and what defines what justice is. Ladies and gentlemen, the only person that can define what justice is God Almighty. He's the only one qualified. And what he's going to do is he's going to give us an insight of what it means to be a just person, not just a just man. Because here is Joseph, there's all kinds of waves of emotion coming. And the thing is, by law, this is what he could have done. He could have turned Mary into the authorities and could have stoned Mary. But in stoning Mary, he would also be stoning the child that's not his. Come on. And so not only is he killing Mary, he's killing the baby inside the womb of Mary based on the fact of what the law said, that if a woman commits adultery outside of the marriage covenant, she is to be stoned. Now, Joseph doesn't take that route because listen to what he does. He says this. It says he not wanting to make her a public example. Everybody say, not wanting to make her a public example. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. What he's doing, ladies and gentlemen, because being just is not using the full measure of the law. Being just is protecting. What he does is he protects Mary's identity in the community. Not only does he protect Mary's identity, but he protects the child that's not his. Oh, come on. Because here's what we're called to do. When I don't have a revelation, what I should do is I should default to protecting you. Come on. Because I don't know the story yet. And sometimes I can respond react out of an emotion instead of reacting. Firstly, I'm going to protect. Not only does he do that, he protect her. It says she was mindful that he even went to this extent to then get to the place where literally it says, and was minded to put her away secretly, which means he was not going to expose her to the public. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many want revelation? How many want revelation? Because I can tell you, when you respond justly, it attracts the revelation of God. Because here he is. He decides to, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can not to shame her, not to harm her, but I'm going to use the money that I thought was for our marriage. Now I'm going to use it to send her away somewhere where she can have the child that's not mine. Because I'd rather protect. Now he has no clue that the child is Christ. He has no clue of what God revealed to Mary. All he knows is this information that happened. Do I got anybody here that realize that what we need in the house of God is not just any people, but we need people to protect the church. Come on. We got to protect the church. We got to protect people. And this is what ministry is all about. It's about protecting people. And here he is. He doesn't have a revelation, so he goes the route of protecting. But now listen to what it says. Then it says in verse 20, but while he thought about these things, in other words, he's wrestling with all these things that he has heard. There is a wave of emotions coming through his soul. And it says, behold, everybody say, behold. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you got to see this. Have you ever thought of why God chose Joseph to raise his son? Because he knew something in Joseph's heart, that even when Joseph didn't have a revelation, he would protect Mary. Come on. Even when Joseph didn't have a revelation, he'd protect the child in Mary's womb. That's why we got to protect the vision of the church. That's why we got to protect the vision of Pebble Creek. Are you hearing me? The vision of other people. That's why we got to protect people. So at this moment, what happens is then the angel comes with a revelation that she's been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. But the angel doesn't stop there. What the angel does is then says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that all that was done, that it might be fulfilled. Everybody say fulfilled. How many want to see your promises fulfilled? How many want to see what God said fulfilled? How many want to see your prophetic words fulfilled in your life? Now notice this. Then he says that all that was done might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Say this with me, God with us. Church, I don't know about you tonight, but I want God with us. I want God with me. Come on. I had to have God with me today because the lady called me from Walgreens and said, we got to cancel your appointment. And then she rescheduled an appointment on 39th and Broadway, downtown. I had never been down there, ladies and gentlemen. I had no reason down to go down there. I was the wrong color. I don't know what happened, and so I'm down there, and I'm in that place, and what is happening is they then take my test, and then they then don't get it, my email, and send it to the wrong email, and I spend the whole afternoon trying to straighten it out. Come on. But you know what? How many know you need God with you? How many know when you need God with you? And sometimes when we go through things, we need God with us. Because if there's any time in human history right now, we need God with us. We need God with Pebble Creek. We need God with our children. We need God with our families. We need God with our spouse. We need God with us. How many want God with us? But I realized something. I realized something in the story with Joseph. Joseph had an opportunity, because you know what? A lot of times we read the story as if Joseph was some kind of robot. You know what? Joseph had to cooperate with what the angel said. He had to cooperate with what God said. But if we're going to see words fulfilled, we're going to have to cooperate with what God said. We can't just expect them to be filled. We have to say yes to them. We have to say yes to what God said. Are you hearing me? But now notice this, because then when the angel says this, because the angel is quoting Isaiah 7:14, and then it says, then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do, and took to him his wife. Well, I said all this because I wanted to quickly get to the last verse, which I'm going to spend the rest of this message on. Because the last verse requires something that I have never seen before, that I've read hundreds of times. And here's what it says. And he did not know her. Ever say, and he did not know her? What that means is he didn't be with her. He did not have intercourse with her. Even though, ladies and gentlemen, he had married her. Listen to this. He said he did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus. That may not mean anything to you, but let me give you the revelation. Because, ladies and gentlemen, here Joseph initially protected Mary and the identity of Mary, the dignity of Mary, and Mary's child. Now, when he has a revelation from God, the angel comes to him. Then the angel confirms the revelation by giving him a scripture in Isaiah 14, Emmanuel, God with us. He's aroused from his sleep. He gets up and he obeys the word of the Lord, takes Mary, his wife, but does not know her. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did Joseph protect Mary initially, but he protected the prophecy over the child. Oh, come on. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, do I got anybody that will protect the prophecy over this church? The prophecy over your pastor? The prophecy over yourself? Because what God is looking for is people that are looking to protect the prophetic word. For instance, in Joseph's case, I'm not going to do what husbands do. I'm not going to sleep with my wife because I'm more concerned about protecting the prophecy rather than fulfilling my own flesh. Are you hearing me? Because what God needs is a company of men and women that rise up and protect the prophetic word. Let me give you an example. Pharaoh issues a decree in Exodus. And when he issues a decree, he issues a decree and he says to kill every Hebrew baby under the age of two. And you know what? Jehochabed, which is Moses' mother, says, I'm not doing that. She takes a stand. You know why she takes a stand? Because she sees a prophecy on her son. She sees that my son's a prince, my son's a prophet, and my son's a deliverer. Come on. And because she sees a prophetic word over her son, she refuses to submit to a decree of an evil king. Are you hearing me? And see, this is what I do not understand, why people submit to evil. Why Christians stand up or bow down to what the enemy is saying rather than stand up and say, I'm not doing that. Come on. Because you're talking about the future of Israel. Because what it tells me is that means that some Hebrew mothers did submit to Pharaoh. See, there's certain things you cross the line with me. Come on. When you're killing our babies, you have crossed the line. You have crossed the line right now. I don't believe anything you say after that because obviously life does not matter to you. Come on. What if Jehochabib did not protect the prophetic word? Then Moses would not have been alive to deliver the nation of Israel out of slavery and bondage. But what she does is she takes a risk by protecting the prophetic word over her son. Just like Joseph wanted to protect the prophetic word over Jesus. I'm going to make sure that she is a virgin. So nobody will question whether or not that word, whether he's the Son of God or not. I'm going to do whatever I can to protect that prophecy. That's what it means to be a just person. That's what it means to be a just man. I'm going to protect the bride of Christ. I'm going to protect the church. But Jehochabib says, okay, when you start standing up, which tells me, when she stood up and protected the prophetic word, how is a mother going to protect her son against all of Egypt? Can I tell you something? Your faith is more powerful than an army. Your faith is more powerful than laws. Your faith is more powerful than anybody decrees because your faith outlasts what they say. Come on. And so what happens is she says, no, we're not doing that to my son. What I'm going to do is she builds a little basket. She weaves a basket. Everybody say weaves a basket. Because you got to have something to hold your dream. Something to hold your promise. Come on. Something to protect what God says. You got to have something that you're making. Come on. Not just giving in to what everybody says. Something's got to hold what God gave you. And what she does is she weaves the basket, ladies and gentlemen. And she then puts her little child in the Nile River and pushes the baby down the river. Church, when I look at that in the natural, that's crazy. Who in your right mind would put your baby in a basket and push him down the river? But let me just tell you, when you trust God, come on. When you stand up and believe that God's providence is going to guide your promises and guide what you care about, you don't care what anybody thinks. Are you hearing me? And so what happened, ladies and gentlemen, is she decides, you know what? The providence of God is going to guide my son. The sovereignty of God is going to guide my son down the river. Because here's what we have to do. We have to put this generation in the river. We got to put our church in the river. Come on. We got to put our people in the river of God. And when we put people in the river of God, that river turns prophetic. And that prophetic river is guiding Moses downstream. And guess what happens? He gets caught in the reeds. And when he gets caught in the reeds, he starts to cry because he's hungry. And wouldn't you know that the person that rescues Moses out of the river isn't who you think? Because when you protect the prophetic word spoken over your life, God will send somebody to protect it too. Come on. God will send the most least likely people to protect your promise. So here Moses is crying. Why is he crying? He's hungry because he wants his mother. Come on. And so what happens is, as he's crying, who hears the cry but Pharaoh's daughter, right? The very person, the very daughter of the man who decreed that demonic decree, hears the cry of your prophecy. Oh, come on. And what does Pharaoh's daughter do? Pharaoh's daughter can't kill him, can't submit to her own father, because they have to protect what God has called you to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've seen it time and time and time again, ladies and gentlemen. So then what happens is this. She picks up the baby. And the baby, she realizes the baby needs milk. Because the baby can't become the prophet, deliverer, and prince without the church. Oh, come on. Oh, hear me. People will not have an identity without the mother. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the church that gives people the identity of who they are. And so what does she do? She basically, ladies and gentlemen, looks around to one of her servants and says, send one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse this boy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's 2 million Hebrew people in Egypt. How in the world? Oh, come on. How in the world, after all the mothers that God would sovereignly send Moses' mother to her baby. Come on. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because only the mother can nurse the prophet. Only the church can nurse the prophetic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And without the church, people can't be raised up and groomed and grow and to become who God called them to be. That's why we got to protect the prophetic words. I got to protect the prophetic word over this young man. I got to protect the prophetic word over my sister. I got to protect the prophetic word over JC and Angie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got to protect the prophetic word. You know why? Because if we do, guess what's going to happen? God will raise us up so we can accomplish great things. Can we give God a shout of praise right now? Because here's what happens. Joseph. Here was Joseph. He could have exercised his full right as the husband, but said, I'm going to sacrifice my right because it's more important to have Emmanuel, God, with us than it is me being with my wife right now. It's more important than having God with us than me fulfilling the lust of my flesh. Come on. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because let me just tell you right now, it's more important for me to protect the prophetic word than anything else right now. See, that is why Meliana and I want to go after God with everything we have. Because we want to serve God with everything we have. Let me tell you, young people, there are going to be opportunities for you to stumble in life. Come on. But you've got to remember when you make a decision who to marry, who to date, who to hang out with, what's your job description, where are you going to go to school, always go back to what God's spoken over your life and protect what God's spoken over your life. See, that's why we need the pastor. That's why we need the evangelist and prophet and apostle and teacher to remind us of what we need to protect, ladies and gentlemen. How many want to protect these young people? Come on. How many want to protect the old people too? Come on. I want to protect everybody. But Joseph said, wait a minute. My first priority in this relationship, but not only am I'm going to protect Mary, I'm going to protect the child that's not mine. No wonder God chose Joseph to raise his son. Because here's how God promotes us. Responsibility. Because ladies and gentlemen, see, I gave somebody a prophetic word last night, but it bounced back at me. Because not only was it for her, it was for me too. Because sometimes in those moments when revelation is coming, it just goes right from here, from there, right out my mouth. Because sometimes what can happen is we can live in reaction to what we've heard. Instead of wait for the revelation of what God has for us. Come on. And many times when we live in reaction to what we heard, we can actually make a mistake and disrupt and actually kidnap and destroy our own destiny because we live in reaction to what we've heard. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I believe it means to be spiritually mature? It's not about age. It's not just about experience. People that are spiritually mature, don't not live in reaction to what people say. Because think about this. Joseph hears this. He hears she's pregnant. And the first reaction was, that's it, it's over. See, because people don't understand. Joseph could have said, I don't want to do this. He has a free will. And because he has a free will, ladies and gentlemen, because he has a free will, he could have said, forget it. I'm done with this relationship. Now that I've heard the word, I'm just going to go ahead, do what I want, live what I want, go where I want to go, do what I want to do, and expect God to do the rest. It doesn't happen that way. There takes a corporate body to cooperate. There takes a group of people that will cooperate. Church, you know what? You know what? What happened, the reason why my wife and I decided to plant a church in Tucson is because in 2010, we had a revival breakout there. The church went from 75 to 300, and not because of us, but because of God's Spirit. But in 2013, the pastor fell into the trap of sin and stuff like that, and the entire ministry collapsed and shut down. There's no more church. And 300 people scattered all over Tucson. Some never to go back to church. Are you hearing me? Just so broken about that. Because the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And because of that, we did not go to Tucson for about a year. Until I got a phone call with one of the members that used to go there. And he said, John, is there any way you could come back to Tucson? I said, listen, I don't have you guys on the schedule. I don't know anybody other than what we were. He said, no, John, we'll go ahead and we'll let you minister to our group. I said, because he's got a nonprofit organization, but they have all kinds of people, Muslims. They got all kinds of different lifestyles in his organization. He goes, no, that's why I want you to come. So we come, there's about 100 of them, and we preach and prophesy over them. Then he tells me, hey, John, can you come? I can set it up for you to minister and prophesy in the public school to teachers. And I said, absolutely. So for the first 3 years, we're going and doing all we're doing around the community and speaking the word of the Lord in Tucson. Then in 2018, what happened was I was doing a wedding in Hawaii. The bride's brother is from Tucson. We prophesy over him and his wife. They recommit their lives to Christ. He owns a restaurant and a bar. And then he asks me, next year, will you go to the bar and preach? I said, absolutely. So I went to the bar and preached. And I can tell you this, I had more freedom in that bar than some churches I go to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I mean, we didn't even have a worship team. I just got up and started preaching and prophesying just like I am doing the same way. I didn't tone it down. I didn't change. They're sipping their martinis or whatever they're drinking, and I'm calling them out. They're getting touched by God. 60 people got saved, by the way, the first time we were there. And then I send these pictures, Meliana sent it to our pastor, because that's what they do. They plant churches. And, you know, he's so busy, and I understand that. But to make a long story short, we were sitting in April or May, late April, early May. We're sitting in West Virginia, and we're talking about what happened to Tucson. And all of a sudden, Meliana and I get a burden. If nobody wants to protect the prophecies over those people, we will. I didn't start a church because I had the money. Because I don't. Didn't start a church because I had the gifting, because I don't. And obviously, I didn't start the church because I don't have the time. Come on. Over the last 2.5 months, I've spent 6 nights that I didn't sleep. Come on, just because of traveling. And that's why, if you can pray for me, pray that I get an airplane. Come on. Pray that I get an airplane. That's what I need the most. Really, that would help me. And because, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you right now. You know why? Because we were more concerned about protecting the prophetic words over that city and over those people than we were our own sleep and our own comfort. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, there's something that comes through. God will come through you. God will supernaturally. Am I tired? Am I tired of it? Absolutely not. Am I burnt out? Absolutely not. Is it a lot of work? Absolutely it is. But I'm more concerned about protecting the prophecy than I am fulfilling my own comfort and own flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, let me just tell you, how many want this church to grow? How many want this church to grow? Let me just tell you. See, sometimes we can protect the carpet more than we can protect the prophecy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes we can protect this building more than we praise God for the building. But let me just tell you, if we protect the building with no people, we're in trouble. Come on. But let me just say this to you. It's more important that we protect the prophetic word so that God fulfills the prophetic word and fills the building. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because here's what can happen sometimes. We can get caught up in what God used to did then rather than what God is saying right now. And what Joseph did is Joseph said, I'm going to be a part. I'm going to be a part of fulfilling Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall give birth and we shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And I don't know about you, but what if Joseph said no? He could have said no. Then he would have said, I don't want you with me, God. How many want God with you? How many want God with you? If there's any time in history we need God with us, it's right now. We need God with us. And not only that, no wonder. And when he did that, when he protected that prophecy, guess what happened? Throughout Joseph's life, what God did is God constantly gave Joseph revelation to protect the life of Jesus. Remember when Herod wanted to kill him? Come on. What happened? A prophetic word, a dream, a revelation. Get out of Bethlehem. That's what he does. Come on. Let me just tell you, revelation is smarter than any government. Come on. Because if you're operating out of fear, you won't operate out of revelation. And man, not only that, he got a revelation. They go to Egypt. And how were they going to survive in Egypt a couple of years? It's because the wise man brought them frankincense, myrrh, and get treasures. That's why. So they had something to sustain them for those 2 years why they were in Egypt. Why did they go to Egypt? Because the Bible said in a revelation, Joseph heard, my son shall come out of Egypt. It was a prophecy. And so what Joseph does is Joseph gets another revelation. Why does he get another revelation? To protect the prophetic word. Come on. So the prophetic word will get fulfilled. And then when they go back to Bethlehem, what happens? Joseph again gets another revelation, ladies and gentlemen. And when he gets a revelation, what takes place? The revelation is, my son will be called a Nazarene. Don't stay in Bethlehem. Go to Nazareth. Why? To fulfill what the prophet said. Are you hearing me? How many want to fulfill what God said over that church, over your life, over your family? Can I get an amen tonight? Come on. See? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I remember in Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, the word of God says this, and God exceedingly prospered Jacob. Everybody say exceedingly prospered Jacob. How many want to be exceedingly prospered? Not just prospered, exceedingly prospered. So that means he puts an adjective on it. But sometimes, because we don't understand the contents of what that really entitles, is that God exceedingly prospered Jacob, even though people in Jacob's life betrayed him. For instance, he had made a covenant with his father-in-law, Laban, saying to Laban, Laban, you haven't paid me, and I want to go back and take my family back to Palestine. But give me all the brown, spotted, and speckled sheep as payment. And Laban says, I'll do that. He agrees to it. They are in a mutual agreement to that. Jacob turns his back, and what does Laban do? But gather all the brown speckled sheep, brown sheep, and guess what? He gives them to his son and sends his son, 3 days away, and leaves Jacob with nothing. Church, without a revelation, when you're betrayed, oh come on, you're left with nothing. But when you have a revelation of who you are and who God is, you're never out of the woods. You're never left with nothing. Because God can give you a supernatural revelation for the moment. Come on. And here's what we have to understand. That's why no matter what the government doesn't have revelation. The church has revelation. Come on. See, when we operate based on information, we get stuck by information. When we operate by revelation, no matter what they do or don't do, we still prosper. Because I hear this all the time. Oh, you know what? COVID-19 has taken my people. Church, COVID-19 don't have that much power over your people. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? The virus don't have that much power over the people because God has a revelation to get the people back. Come on. If I access what everybody is saying, then instead of accessing the revelation of God, I'll say, all agree with that narrative. I'm not saying that those aren't facts We're not talking about facts tonight. The facts said Mary couldn't be pregnant without a man. That's what the facts said. But the angel prophesied a revelation, and she gave birth to the Savior, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't you thankful we still got people that don't put the facts way down here and put the information way up here? Come on. Because here's what happens. If I put my facts way down here instead of the revelation way up here, guess what's going to happen? Facts are going to dictate policy. And when the facts dictate policy, what's going to happen is I'm going to fall into the trap that I'm going to, oh no, what am I going to do right now? But because I operate out of revelation, even if Laban takes my money, even if he takes my sheep, because I'm in covenant with God. Everybody say covenant with God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I are in covenant with God, it doesn't matter what people around us do. Because God's covenant is bigger than their behavior. Because the reality is, if Jacob could have done this, Jacob could have done this very thing. Jacob could have been reactive to what Laban did to him. He could have gone after his father-in-law and attempted to try to get his sheep back. Oh, come on. I notice he doesn't take Laban to court. I notice he doesn't sue Laban. You know what he does? He accesses the revelation of God. The same thing that happened to Joseph happened to Jacob. Because how do you exceedingly prosper when everything's been taken away from you? Church, I'm not worried about taxes. I'm not worried about what they take. Come on. Because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and owns more than the U.S. government. Come on. His streets are paved with gold. And so what I got to understand is instead of accessing my fear, I got to access the revelation. Because then Jacob could have said, oh, wait a minute. How can I prosper now? I don't have any more sheep. I'm empty. I don't have nothing left. But guess what he did? He dreamed. Everybody say dreamed. And when I talk to you about dreaming, I'm not talking about you going to sleep and dreaming. I'm talking about dreaming so that God can give you a better idea. To reimagine and reinvent yourself to see God do something he's never done before. So what happens? Jacob has a dream. And in the dream, he weaves his basket. But it's different. He protects his prophecy. I'll bring you back to this land. What he does is, in the dream, God shows him to take some sticks. Take the bark off the stick. Peel the bark off the stick. Put them in a trough. And then have all the white sheep go and drink out of the trough. And then God made those white sheep pregnant with brown, spotted, and speckled sheep. Now, church, if you woke up with a dream like that, how many would obey it? Because that don't make sense. But when you want to protect the prophetic word bad enough, you'll do something that's crazy. Because real, what we need is, how many want your life to be like Jacob's trough? That when people come and drink from your life, come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? It gives birth to their dreams, their hopes, and their desires. And what happens, ladies and gentlemen, in that place is all of a sudden it didn't matter that Laban took the sheep, because God prospered Jacob without Laban. Come on, church. which tells me we can prosper. We can become who God wants us to be without anybody's help but God Almighty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we'll protect the prophetic words. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Lift your hands toward heaven all over this room. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light upon our very path. We thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you have helped us, you have guided us, and you have blessed us. And I ask you right now that you would raise up a company of men and women that would protect the prophetic word over a generation. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Dwayne, could you please stand up? Dwayne, could you come right here? How many appreciate Dwayne's ministry? Dwayne, lift your hands to Jesus. I want you to see this. Dwayne, what I'm going to do in this season is I have raised you up, son, because I know something about you. You'll protect what I sent you. You'll cover for what I sent you. And because you will do that, my son, what's going to happen in these next 10 years is I'm going to be multiplying you exponentially. I'm going to make your life a trough where a generation drinks out of. And it's not because you have the best curriculum. It's not because you have the most exciting programs. It's simply because Dwayne operates out of a spirit of revelation. And the Lord says that even right now, throughout the week, you're going to be entering into a season where God is going to rain his revelation on you. You're going to be entering in a season where God is going to give you a larger house. He's going to give you a larger place because he knows what you need to house in the future. He knows what you're called to do at this season of life. Because not only are you a, quote, a pastor, but you are a discipler of men and women. And because you have operated out of justice, son, all the days of your life, I'm entrusting you with a generation, says the Lord, a generation of men and women that are looking to be protected at this hour. Protected from the demonic, protected from deception, protected from lies, protected from many things. And I've raised you up to be that individual, says the Lord. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Congregation, stretch forth your hands to him. Put your hand on your lips, Dwayne. Dwayne, I'm going to tell you something. God says, I love the way you talk. You are going to preach and teach so effectively that people's jaw are going to drop about the miracle that I'm done for. Because I put fire upon your lips, son, and fire upon your heart. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Josh, could you stand up? Should you come over here, Josh? Stretch forth your hands. How many appreciate Josh? Josh, the Lord says this. You've protected your children and you've protected your wife and you've protected what God has entrusted you with. So the Lord wants me to give you a promise. Because you have done that, and you have done that with wisdom and grace, I'm going to multiply you 400 times. I tell you why. Because you're going to need it. Because one of your sons has a vision that is so huge, and he's going to need his father's endorsement. Because he's not operating out of ego. He's operating out of a burden. And the Lord says this to you. This is how you've operated all the days of your life, Josh. People have asked you for a lot of things. They've asked you to do this and do this and do this. But you've chosen not to respond to every request. And because of that, because you wait until you get a burden from the Lord. But the burden is in your own house. Even as I have put a prophetic spirit in your house. Even as I have come and visit your sons and visited your wife. Even within the moment of dreams. And because you have been practical and pragmatic over the years. Because you have been not only practical, but actually very slow in even doing certain things, because you knew and you had to wait for the burden of the Lord. But the burden of the Lord is bypassing everything in this season right now. And you are going to see an exponential growth of dreams coming true in the life of your loved ones, because you were a catalyst to see the dream happen, says the Lord. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, I ask you that you touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady, could you please stand up? Is that your friend? Is she your friend? Put your hand on her heart. Young lady, I don't want you to forget what I'm going to tell you right now. In this season of your life is a season of transition. You're going to be stepping into a place you've never stepped before. And some of the things that you've experienced is some there's been some apprehension. Not quite sure. Even there's been some times in your soul where you've been uncomfortable. But I need to tell you this. Because when I saw you over there, the Lord said to me, he said, tell my daughter I'm watching over her. Tell her that she's stepping up into a place where she's not going to know everybody, but she's going to find her place. She's going to find her niche. And the Lord says, you have even grown up to a home where good people, but yet revelation has not been something that leads. It's been more educational driven. And education is good, but education isn't the only thing that you're going to need right now. Because what's going to happen is a revelation of what God wants you to do with your life. And yes, you're going to get a great education and you're going to excel. But at the core of your being, you don't want to just fulfill what other people want you to do in order to please them. You want to do the will of God. And many times, especially the last year, you've had a hard time saying, no, I don't want to do that, because you don't want to bring conflict. But I heard the word of the Lord. There's going to come a time, young lady, when you're going to have to put your foot down and say, this is the direction I'm going. And the Lord's going to stay with you. The Lord's going to prove himself to you. The Lord's going to be with you, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Let's give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 Here's what we're going to do. How many want to protect the prophetic word? How many want to protect the prophetic word? Here's the thing I want you to understand. In order to protect the prophetic word, I've got to sow. For instance, there was a woman who actually came to Elisha and told Elisha, this is what she said. The creditors are coming to take my children. My husband, who was a man of God, a prophet or a righteous man, is now dead. Now, when I read that initial verse, the first thing that comes to my mind is, why didn't that husband, if he was righteous, leave some kind of retirement or inheritance for his wife and children? He left them with nothing except debt. That doesn't sound like a good inheritance, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, that's not a man of God that would leave his wife and children with a large debt that the creditors want to come and take the kids to pay it back. And she goes to the prophet, not looking for a prophetic word, but looking for an answer. What do I do? And you know what? He doesn't prophesy over her. He asked her a question. What was the question? What's in your house? Many times the answer to my future is in my house. The answer to what we need is already here in the house. Oh, come on. It's in the house. But many times we think it's outside the house, but it's already in the house is what we need. And so what happens is, what's in your house? Well, then she opens up her mouth and she says, I have nothing. Oh, man. Man, I mean, she's stuck. Everybody say stuck. How do we know when you're stuck, you can't see nothing either? She's stuck. And she's stuck because she can't see that she has anything in her house, because all she sees is her debt, and she sees the future of her children being taken. That doesn't look too promising. Obviously, she's been watching a lot of news. She's stuck because she's already painted a narrative for the man of God. They're coming to take my kids. The prophet doesn't prophesy, oh, this is going to happen, da, 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 da. All he says is, what's in your house? And then she goes, I got nothing. But then she says, I got nothing because I can't see nothing. But then she says, but a little jar of oil. Everybody say, a little jar of oil. See, people don't see this. No, I don't believe that her husband was a bad man. In fact, he was a great man. You know why I believe he was a great man? Because he left his wife with something more than an inheritance. More than a house, more than an insurance policy. He left his wife with oil. Oh, come on. Are you hearing? Because my greatest inheritance is not my 403B or my house or my life insurance policy, should the Lord take me home. That's not my greatest inheritance that I could give my wife and my children and grandchildren. The greatest inheritance that I could give is still have oil in my house. You hear? I'm going to tell you something, why a lot of houses are closing down. Not because of COVID-19. It's because there's no oil in the house. Not because of the government, because there's no oil in the house. Because when you have oil in the house, ladies and gentlemen, nobody can close your house down. Because your little bit of oil is a lot more powerful than all their money. Come on. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if all you got of a little bit of the Holy Spirit, my Bible says that if you have faith of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. Come on. My Bible said, I'll take your little bit and I'll multiply it. Come on. Because my little bit of oil is a lot better than an entire army. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just a little bit. Because if I use my little bit with a lot of obedience, God will multiply it. Hey, church, you know what? I'm just absolutely amazed at how God is providing. For Tucson, we're still traveling. It's costing a lot of work, but I'm amazed at how God is traveling. That what is happening, it happens every week. Every week I get a phone call or email, a text of somebody not even in Tucson that says, John, I want to sow a seed. Come on, into your work in Tucson. And over the past 2.5 months, you know, over 30,000 has come in from people not even in Tucson. How does that happen, ladies and gentlemen? It's because a little bit of oil mixed with a lot of obedience brings multiplication. Are you hearing me? Because if I didn't get those seeds from outside, I don't know how we would be able to do it financially. Because every week people are flying in there. We just rented an Airbnb for a month. All these kinds of things are happening. But I noticed this. When she heard, all I have is a little bit of oil. What did he do? He told her something. Go borrow. Everybody say, go borrow. Church, that is not very good advice. You know what? How many have ever been to Dave Ramsey Financial Peace? Dave Ramsey will tell you, don't borrow. Then the prophet says, go borrow. Prophet, the reason I'm in debt is because we borrow too much. Come on. And now you're telling me to go borrow some more. But notice this. He said, go borrow empty vessels. Church, I'm going to ask you to do something. Go door to door and get some empty vessels and bring them to the house of God. People are empty, man. They didn't go door to door and asking for oil. They went door to door and asked, just bring those empty vessels. Come on. Because there's so many empty people in Kansas City. They're empty. He said, bring those empty vessels into our house and we'll pour our little bit of oil that we have inside them. Oh, come on. And we'll fill them up. Come on. And that's what she did. She borrowed as much as they could. And because they borrowed as much as they could, ladies and gentlemen, they can continue to pour oil and pour oil and pour oil into those vessels. Now, I never saw this before, but think about this. There's no way you could borrow something and God do something and him not give it back to you much more fuller. Come on. So they sell the oil. They don't sell the vessels. They sell the oil in the vessels. Have you ever asked this question? What do they do with the vessels? They had to give them back to their neighbors. I believe with all my heart that her sons took every one of those vessels back full of oil. You know what I want to do with my life? God, you brought me this empty vessel. I want to pour my little bit of oil inside of it so that I can give them back to you full. And then you know what God will say? You can borrow them anytime. Come on. See, because think about this. If we want people to come to the house of God, what is our responsibility? Fill them with the oil. And send them back home full of oil. Come on. And then they hear, and they say, there's oil here in Pebble Creek. They got a lot of oil in Pebble Creek. The oil's not just in Kansas, it's in Pebble Creek. Come on. How many need to know we need oil in the house? Come on. We need oil in the house. And she multiplied. Why? Simply because she took her little bit and she mixed it with a lot of obedience and God multiplied her. And she sold the oil and enough to live on for the rest of her life. Now that's a lot of oil. That's a lot of oil. You know, I know I have a good friend of mine. She's a millionaire, and she gave $17,000 to the work in Tucson, her and her husband. What a blessing it was. She's been here, by the way. She's been here to Pebble Creek. She's been here. She was here a few years ago, her and her husband. They came here. And when she sowed that seed, she says, Brother Harkey, I want you to pray for my oil investment. That's what she asked that. She'll call me up and have me pray over the oil investment. I said, you keep sowing, God will multiply your oil. God will multiply your oil. How many want to multiply? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. Here's what we're going to do. If you got an offering, here's what I want you to do. Make it out to Pebble Creek. They've got an app where they can give. I'm going to invite Sean and the praise team up to the platform. And we're going to pray over this offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you would multiply the gift, God, and multiply the giver. Lord, I ask you tonight, not just for economic blessing, even though that's a wonderful request. Father, I ask for oil of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Power of the Spirit. Anointing of the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Anointing of power and grace on every single giver tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now as you give. Young man, would you stand up? What's your name? How many love Austin? Austin, lift your hands to Jesus. Austin, the Spirit of the Lord would say this to you. Because you're a young man that wants to do right, God's going to give you great things to do. One of the things that God's going to give you is He's going to entrust you with other people's wealth to manage it and to take care of it. Because He knows that you will not spend it upon yourself. That even in your young life, what you have done is you have saved the little money that you have to bless other people. I even saw you give your last quarter, says the Lord. Your might. Because you are a young man that is filled with generosity. And because you are filled with generosity, I know that no matter how much I bless you, it will never get to your head and you'll think you're somebody. Because you will always give so much away. Austin, there's going to be a day in your life when you'll give a car away. When you'll give a house away. When you'll actually give a college education away. In order to bless other people, Austin. Because I can trust you, son. Father, from the top of his head. And have him stand behind me. From the top of his head. All over the house, all over the house. Young lady, could you stand up, please? Right over there. Lift your hands to Jesus. I see a young man who seems to be estranged. He's wandering. But then I saw this in my spirit. I saw you call his name out. And it's as if your voice brought him back. Because daughter, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. You have authority to break demonic power. Because sometimes you feel, oh, nobody's hearing. But I want to say this. Demons are afraid of you. Darkness is scared of you. Meliana, come over here. Because throughout your life, you would go out of your way. I literally saw you. You were in your car looking. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Just to bring them back to safety. I'm going to tell you. Revelation is going to show you their location. And Revelation is going to show you how to bring them back to their primary destination. And that is the presence of God. Because, see, they've gone through traumatic experiences, and you've been asking God, Lord, how can I see them healed? How can I see them healed? Let me just tell you, the Lord, when you were sitting there, the Lord showed me that you had many tools. You had a lot more skills than you know it. Because there's things that you know you could do, and there's things that God has given you, but you feel like your hands are tied. But the Lord says your hands are not tied. In fact, tonight your hands are lifted. And because your hands are lifted, daughter, I'm bringing them back. I'm bringing them back in the name of Jesus. Congregation, stretch forth your hands to her. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch your daughter right now. This is going to be a day of freedom. This is going to be an hour of celebration. Because you've had... You've been asking God, I need a victory, not just a big victory, just a little small sign. This is the first of three more coming, because God's going to show you a sign next week and the week after, and you're going to see fulfillment at this hour, because this is a year of fulfillment for you, says the Lord. Father, touch her now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sister, can you stand up, please?
Thank you, Jesus.
Stretch forth your hands to this woman. If I get one of the ushers to stand behind her, I'd greatly appreciate it. Of the Lord saying, daughter, you've been carrying a vision for years that has yet to come to pass. And it's like inside you, something is stirring on the inside of you. And although that there's been even limitation as they tried to deter you and stop you. It's as if you got up against the wall, and I saw this huge wall, and there were like 20 doors, and you stood there and you said, Lord, which door am I to go through? And I heard the Lord say, go through door number one. And the reason why, it's because Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man or woman who does not listen to the counsel of the wicked. And because there's a lot of counsel out there that comes from the wrong source. And the Lord says, I want your counsel to be from his voice. Because God's going to plant you in a place where you're going to grow despite what's around you. You're going to become a sign and a wonder, says the Lord. Father, heal your daughter right now. From the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Father, right now I decree and declare over her right now that you literally are going to heal her body. You are going to restore her to full mobility. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. I want everyone to stand right now. How many in this room tonight say, preacher, I want to protect the prophetic word. I want to protect the prophetic word. Let me see your hand. This, ma'am. Yes. Lift your hands to Jesus. Stretch forth your hands to her, ladies and gentlemen. You need a supernatural miracle of multiplication. Not next week, not next year, yesterday. And you came here tonight because God wants me to tell you. It's in your house. And the key is to access what's already inside of you. Because you already know what's inside of you. And you have what it takes, says the Lord. I'm telling you by the Spirit, there's a debt that's going to get forgiven very, very quickly. I'm telling you by the Spirit that God's going to show his hand to you in a way that you have never seen before in this season. It's because you have been on your knees crying out to the Lord, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And a miracle is coming your way. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Never to be the same again. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord right now. Let's thank the Lord right now. If you want to protect the prophetic word, here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, on the count of three, I want you to run to this altar right now. One, two, three. Come right now. Come right now. Let's worship, Sean. Let's worship for a moment. You're going to hear clearly and understand clearly, son. And what God is going to do is God is going to cause you to invent things that have never been done. Because the way you process in your mind things, you're going to build your own trough. You're going to build your dreams. And what you're going to do is you're going to break curses off the family. The curse of betrayal, you're going to break it. Because you are going to be faithful and committed. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Touch him right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, let's worship God. Worship God. Let's worship God.
How great. How great.
Jesus. I heard the word of the Lord for you. You gave up much so that the people around you could succeed. You labored night and day, morning till evening, midday, so other people could have opportunities you didn't. Talk about taking up the cross. You took it up. And yet, you're asking God, God, and then yet more is being required of you. And I heard the voice of the Lord say this. He said, tell my daughter, I love her A-type intensity because she's so intense about doing what needs to be done. And when people say, oh, she's over the top, I made her that way, says the Lord. Because she doesn't mess around. She knows where she's going, and she knows the end of the story because I gave her revelation. And I heard the Lord say, but yet in the middle of it, what's going to happen is there are going to be people that want to go in your vehicle even though it's going really fast. Because they have somewhere to go and they don't want to waste their time. And the Lord says, because they want to get things done. Because the Lord says, what you're going to do, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to do it to your children. You're going to do it to the people you have influence over. You will raise up visionaries, says the Lord, that have a vision for their life. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch your daughter right now in the name of Jesus, never to be the same again. There it is. God is touching you right now. The Lord says that there will be people around you that need a miracle. They will need a miracle, and some will buy into the lie of the enemy. But you will remove the lies from the room. And you will build a place, a room where only the word of faith is spoken so that miracle can happen. Because not only are you a life giver, but you are a faith imparter, daughter. Because just like the woman whose son was dead, who went to Elijah and wasn't going to leave until Elijah went to the room. That's exactly how passionate you are, because you are a woman that is driven. And the Lord says, because you are driven, my sons and daughters will be resurrected, both spiritually, physically, and emotionally, in every area of their life. Even ones that whose family have forsaken them, whose mother has left them, whose father has abused them. You will raise them up and see them healed in your generation, says God. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Amen. Give God a shout of praise.
All my life you have Let's been worship. Faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see the goodness of God.
Stretch forth your hands to this little girl. Becky, put your hand on your daughter's heart. I just need to tell you this because there's something you have to deal with. You're smarter than the people around you. You're even smarter than your teachers. Because you have this ability, this intuition, this ability to kind of figure things out really very quickly. Like your mind is very quick. You're very witty. But at the same time, you're also very, very stubborn, but it's a good way. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. But I heard the voice of the Lord say, there's an anointing on you, young lady, to organize and to gather. And in this life of yours, you're going to be an instigator of gathering a group of people that want to do things that make a difference. Because there's a lot of people going to look to you that are just going to be older than you, but they're going to look to you for direction. Because there's such a strong prophetic anointing on your life. I mean, you could probably run for political office and win. Because of the way you know how to communicate and the way you know how to talk. But the Lord says that I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your life in my kingdom. I'm going to use your life into my church. Because no matter what anybody says, there's going to be a day when you're going to be pastoring a church and leading a group of people that need direction. And the way that God is, because you don't just fit in. You have to be somewhere where you're challenged because things come easy to you. So you have to be in a place where you're challenged, where your intellect is challenged, your thinking is challenged. That's why you'll get your PhD one day. And you will do it. And you will see many places in this world. I know right now travel is difficult, but that's not going to be forever. You're going to see places all over this world. You're going to learn things from other cultures. And you're going to bring transformation to the culture you live in. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him.
Running after me with my life laid down and surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Come on, your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
I want everyone to put your hand upon your heart right now. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, tonight, I want to do something. I'm going to protect the prophetic word over my life, over the life of my family. over the life of the church,
over my pastor, over
my nation.
And like Joseph,
I want to be just.
I want to be just in all that I do.
So I can honor you.
So you can trust me.
And right now, God,
I ask you,
empower me.
Protect your promises.
In Jesus' name.
Now lift your hands and thank him all over the house.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you.
Just thank him. Just thank him all over the house. Just thank him all over the house.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just thank him all over the house.
This
woman in the pink blouse, would you come forward, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you come stand right here?
Congregation, I need a couple of the ladies just to gather around her.
Put your hands on her shoulders.
I'm just going to say this to you.
You've had to carry a lot lately.
You've had to
take care of the sick.
And not just the sick physically,
but the sick emotionally.
Who are so emotionally wounded
that they didn't even know how to love back.
And for you,
you felt obligated.
I have to do this,
even though it's hard.
But I'm going to say something to you.
God sees, and God knows, and God hears.
Because God sees, God knows, and God hears.
You've graduated from obligation.
You've done it for love.
And then the time when you feel like your vessel is empty,
that nobody's pouring into you,
God says, tonight,
I'm giving you more oil than you realize.
And the oil that I'm giving you is the oil of peace of mind.
Because words are powerful, and it is a lie when the people say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is a lie.
Words have power.
Words hurt and they also heal.
And I want to say something to you.
You've had to react times. You've had to react just to protect yourself.
You've had to get in the car and go somewhere and just get alone. You've had to do that.
You've had to pound your fist on the steering wheel.
Because you were frustrated.
You had to do that.
Not because you were wrong.
Because the devil makes you feel guilty when you do that. You know that?
But God says, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you such a measure of grace and power
that you're going to rise above, ma'am. You're going to rise above,
woman,
into a place where you'll be so filled with his oil that nobody will be able to take it away from you again.
Lift your hands right now. The power of God's coming upon you.
Father, when I lay hands on this woman, and I release the word of the Lord over her in the name of Jesus, tonight I ask you that you would fill her full of your life and your oil.
Father, because Lord Jesus, she's constantly having to pour herself in the empty.
with nobody giving it back. Now you give it back to her in Jesus' mighty name. There it is. God is touching you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's praise his name. Let's worship him right now. Let's
all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
Come on, all my life.
And all my life you have been. Been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see the goodness of God.
Put your hands out like this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for these people. We love them, God. We love each and every one of them. But you love them more. You know their promises and their hopes and their dreams. I ask you that you would raise them up to protect those dreams, promises, and hopes. And that you would send people alongside them lives. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give them the spirit of revelation to be led by your voice and your voice alone. In Jesus' name. Now let's give God a shout of praise in the house. Let's give God a shout of praise in the house. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. We thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the spirit of prophecy. Lift your hands to Jesus.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Sir, when I lay my hands on you, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift in the atmosphere. A shift in things that happen for you. Where there has been constant roadblocks, it's as if the angel of the Lord is saying, I'm giving you permission to go there because that road belongs to you. The biggest roadblock sometimes is that people don't trust your heart. Don't trust this. That's because people look at you with their natural eyes, don't look with the eyes of the Father. But the Lord says, I am sending people in your path that see your heart motive and the intentions of your heart, and not just what you look like. And because of that, son, what you're going to see is you're going to see a whole massive revival of revelational healing that's going to take place. A relational healing in relationship with your family like never before. Because I want you not to forget what I'm going to tell you right now. There's still a prophetic word out there that has yet to be filled. I don't hear people talking about it, but it has to come to pass before the return of the Lord.
The last scripture in the Old Testament, Malachi 4, 6, which says, I restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers before the great day and coming of the Lord. Because the greatest move before the coming of God will be families will be completely restored. Sons and daughters, fathers and mothers will be restored. Families will be renewed and reunited in healing and life. And God the center of the family. And son, I'm doing that and fulfilling that through your life. Not just your family, but you will have influence over other families as well. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, God, that you're so amazing. And Lord, you just want to show us your heart. Lord, you love people. You love your people. And you want them to know how much you love them. And so, Lord, you've given gifts like prophecy. You've given gifts like words of wisdom, word of knowledge. Lord, you've given all these gifts to reveal your heart to people. And so I pray, God, that as we leave this place, God, that we're going to protect the prophetic word. We're going to protect the prophecies that have been given, Lord, not just over us, but over our loved ones, over others, maybe we don't even know. Lord, and I just pray, God, you would help us to do that, to be like Joseph, to, even when we don't understand completely, that we walk with a desire to honor you and not make rash judgments, not make rash decisions, but always desire to bring honor. Lord, I thank you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, what you're going to do tomorrow. We pray, God, for tomorrow's services. We pray, God, that you would, again, just bless, Lord, but not just bless, but stir us up, Lord. Stir up the church, Lord Jesus, to be hungry and thirsty for everything that you have. God, you have so much, so much. And sometimes we settle for so little. But we want everything that you want us to have so that we not only are blessed, but so that we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you thank the Harkies as we close tonight? Praise God, praise God, praise God. You don't have to leave. I mean, a fellowship. Say, there you go, right there. Don't tackle each other in the sanctuary, though. God bless you. I hope you have a great night. Be safe on your trip home. We pray you come back tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Every breath that I take, I will see of the goodness of God. Goodness of God.